Okay, take your Bible, if you would, tonight. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 through 17. We're going to read that tonight, and we're going to study it, okay? Notice chapter 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're going to come back and look at this and try to apply it to our lives. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. In other words, the things of the world pass away. They don't have eternal value. Notice the next one. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What things you do for the Lord, they never lose their value. Now, I'm going a little while back, I preached a message on the three original words in the Greek text about love. Eros, we get our English word erotic from. It's a sensual, sexual love. Phileo, it's the love. Philadelphia means city of brotherly love. It's a love, it's a compassion. You care about people. You're a good person. You care about a city. You care about your neighbors. It's the love for your neighbor. Okay. Agape is the love of God. It's that whom you would die for. It's the love that you would give everything for. Now, the reason this is important to understand this word is because he said, if any man love the world. How many of you love the home you live in? Raise your hand. How many of you like your home to live in? Let me show you. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. He's not saying the things of the world the Father doesn't like. The Lord provides things for us. How many of you have a car and it brought you to church tonight and you like your car? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, he's not saying don't like your car. He's saying don't love your car. Okay. Now we're going to get to that in a minute. Take your outline and notice. Number one, we must learn about the world. That's the first blank. Learn about the world. A, the world has many things that can allure us. Now, somebody tell me, what is something that allures you? Somebody give me an idea, definition of allure. Anybody know? Somebody give me an idea. Anybody know? Allure. There's an original word in the Greek text called delazo. And that is the word for allure. What it means is, it's sort of like, how many of you have seen the picture of a guy holding a stick and a carrot on it, and the donkey going like this trying to get to the carrot, and he's leading him around? How many have ever seen a picture like that? Okay, that's this word, delazo. There are a lot of people, money, he's got money on the carrot, and they're chasing money all over the place. They're chasing money. Or they have a particular kind of car. I had a relative one time and said, before I die, I'm going to get me a Mercedes. And listed the number. It was a two-seater with a convertible. And she said, that's what I want. And she's living for that. And so he's got her on a string. And Delazzo, he's leading her all over the place trying to get that car. She's lost everything else. But she's got just a dream for that one thing. Now, notice, if you would, Rome numeral 1A, number 1, it has cars and trucks. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a car, a truck, wanting a nice car, a truck. I try to keep my car washed and cleaned. I try to make sure it stays nice. but I don't agape my truck. I love my truck. Flat. In other words, I care about it. I don't want it dinged. How many of you have seen a blue Challenger parked out in the parking lot, almost on the other side of the hill over there? How many of you seen that? Okay. Now, if you want to pull a trick on somebody, drive over there and park next to that vehicle, and you'll see him trotting out there, getting that vehicle and moving it over a spot. I'm not sure, but I think, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but our chairman of deacons, I think he loves that car. There's been a couple of Saturdays I went out there, and he's sitting on that car going like this, just loving that car. Now that is what we're not supposed to do. Okay, now listen very carefully. We're not supposed to love anything in this world like that. And so he says, love not the world. Now, the world is the environment we live in. It is really pretty well managed by Satan. He, in the beginning, God managed the Garden of Eden and put one tree in it. That's all he had right to. He couldn't touch it. He could just talk about it. And he tempted Adam and Eve to take of the tree. But now, he really has a lot of control around the world. So, he tries to get people to love things. Now watch. Number two, it has money, gold, and lands. How many people love gold? How many people love money? They're pursuing it with all their hearts. They want a job. I want a better job. They'll step on other people in the company to try to get the next promotion because they want more money. They want more stuff. They want the next piece of land over there. I want a little bigger house. When you go on a mission trip around the world and you go to Papua New Guinea or you go to places in New Zealand, or you go to places in South America or Cambodia or Brazil, you're going to find houses that are smaller, not closets. Why is that? And does anybody know what these two places down the street are? Cube Smart. Anybody know what that place is? Anybody know what that is? Anybody have you know what that is? It's a storage place. You know what that's for? For stuff that won't fit in your 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, double car garage. Now, nothing wrong with having stuff. It's just the stuff can't have you in your heart. That's why he's saying, love not the world. Now, take just a minute. Notice this. Three, it has friends and power. So, do you remember what Jesus was tempted with when the old devil? He took him up on the top of the mountain and said, look, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in succession and said, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. So he's tempting Christ to love the things of the world. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he quoted to him scripture the third time to let him know that he is not allured by the world. Notice B. The world has lustful things to the eyes. The world can be a place of no morality. In other words, you can do whatever you want to do and it'll be okay. Who's watching? That's the reason why our world is going so fast in the wrong direction. There's so many. I mean, we can't define a family, a husband and wife. We have a hard time discussing certain things that are right, standing up for right. We've been killing our children for I don't know how many years. And notice, if you would, here he says the world can be a place of no morality. If I don't want this child, I don't have to have it. If I don't like my parents, there are children that have turned their parents in, that have sued their parents, and they're by themselves now. Oh, they're in a home that the government puts them in, but they don't have to be with their parents. We have gotten things so out of order in our world because Satan is so powerful in our world. The lustfulness. Notice, number two, it has unbridled fantasies. If I could just have a better husband or a better wife, and we fantasize, if I could just have a better job with more position and more people would respect me more, if I could just, and we fantasize about, if I could just drive that car, oh, people would look at me different. Do you know what the next dealership down the road is? Can you tell me what it is? What do they sell? Bentleys. Rolls Royce. You know what the other end down there sells? Ferraris. Maseratis. You know, all I'm trying to say is that I'm not saying there's something wrong with those cars, but I'm saying there's something wrong with loving those cars so much that you're willing to go to work more than you're willing to spend time with your wife or your husband. It can't have your heart. That's why he said, love not the world. Sacrifice anything for it. The love of God can't go toward the world. Because he said, you can't love the Lord and love the things of the world. You have to choose between money and the Lord. You have to choose between women and your wife, husband and other men. You have to understand you can't love agape, sacrifice, put them first. That's what love the world, love the world means. The world can't be first in your life. Now I'm going to tell you at the end how to not let the world be first in your life. But notice, if you have your outline, 3, it is a place of filthiness and can ruin your heart through your eyes. Pornography is everywhere. In France, the billboards have naked women. We had a man, a missionary, that was planning on going to France and went there and said, I can't bring my family to this. Look at these billboards. Look at what's here. All I'm trying to say to you is that the magazines that are out there, that is the world. And you and I have to realize that our children live in a world. That's the reason the Christian home is so important and it's so precious. It's a safe place. It's supposed to be a safe place for you and your family. Notice number C in the outline. The world has pride to offer. All you got to do is watch a ball game. Watch a basketball game. I mean, and some guy shoots a three-pointer and hits it. And it gets his team even. And the game is tight. And you see him running down the court making gestures. And, you know, look at me. You see a football player make a great play and look at me. Or the NFL had to put in a rule, no taunting. You know what that means? When I knock the ball out of your hands and I tackle you on the ground, I can't look at you and say, I'm better than you. You can't taunt them. Pride. It's everywhere. It's a 15-yard penalty in the NFL for exhibiting your pride over another player. The NFL is trying to get people to understand you can't do that. That's not right. And you know what? Pretty well, most games, somebody gets that penalty. Why is that? Pride is everywhere in our world. And the Lord said, notice with me if you would, in the outline, 1, C1, it can offer jobs that bring honor and respect. And you can sacrifice all kinds of things to get that job and the money and the respect it brings. 2, it can offer more possessions than you can believe. 3, it can offer notoriety and fame. And that's what many people are looking for. The lottery is all about, I'll get money to be famous. I'll get money. If I don't want to be famous, I can have everything I want then. Notice 2, Roman numeral 2. We must love the Lord and not the world. This love, agape love, is for one person on the face of the earth, and that is the Lord of heaven. Now, the Lord then tells us, if you're a husband, he says, I want you to love your wife like I love the church. And boy, that's a challenge. So he says, look, you can love your wife with the same love you love me. But guess who he wants to be first? Your husband or your wife? Or the Lord? The greatest command in Scripture, thou shalt love. Agape love. Sacrificial love. I'll do anything you say. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. And our theme for the year is loving him more, because I want everybody in this room to please the Lord. And so when you love the Lord more, when you work at loving the Lord more, how do you love your wife more? How do you love your husband more? You do things for them. You try to be good to them. You try to encourage them. You try to challenge them. You praise them. And so how do you love the Lord? You praise the Lord. You try to be good to Him. You try to please Him. How do you be good to your wife? You try to please her. You love her. You do things for her that you know she likes. That's this agape love. Now, this love over here, this erotic love, is selfish. It's all about me. I don't really care about anybody else, but I want it for me. And this phileo love is, well, I like people. I want to be good to people. But this doesn't put Christ first. This is a lackadaisical love. Oh, you might be good to your neighbor. You might fix him a tray of cookies and take it over. But you're not going to sacrifice for them. They go into the hospital. You're not going to say, how much is your bill? Can I help you out with it? If it's $10,000, let me give you $5,000 or $7,000. How much do you have? We're not going to sacrifice. But your husband goes to the hospital. Your wife goes to the hospital. I'll do anything I can to help you. You see, this kind of love is reserved for your Savior and your family. That's it. And if you use that love on cars, houses, lands, jobs, respect, you're out of the Lord's will. The Lord can't bless you like He wants to because your heart's not right. You love the world and not the Lord. Notice, if you would, A in the outline, we are challenged not to love the world, or it will take first place, the first place our God should have. That's what happens when you love the world. It's about priorities. That love is about who's first. You see, phileo love is not a sacrificial love. It's a love. It could be a love you just want to be good to people. It could be a love, I want to be good to you so I can get something back. That could be phileo love. Hey, you want me to mow your grass so when I'm out of town, you can mow my grass? How about that? It's that kind of a love. But this is not. This, I'll mow your grass and I'll help you because I want to be a blessing. I don't want anything back. This love puts you first, puts Him first, puts others first. This love is just, hey, I want to be good to you because I'm a good person, but I'm not going to sacrifice. And this love over here is all about me. I really don't care about you. I just want me. You see, notice, if you would, in the outline, B, to choose both is to compromise. This is Satan's first choice for us. Then he encourages us to just love the world. So what he wants us to do is try to love the Lord and love things. He knows that a Christian's probably not going to bite on the idea, love the world and don't love the Lord. So he's going to say, look, love both. Love the Lord and love your cars and your houses and your lands. Love both. The problem with that is this. This love has a priority with it. Somebody's got to be first. Now, there's a lot of husbands and wives in this room. Joseph, your wife is not in here, so you can answer this honestly. Who's the first most important woman in the world to you? Oh, she is. That was no problem. Now, what else did you expect him to answer with a whole room full of people? But is that true? Absolutely. It's in my heart. Now, that can be the love of God because she's first and most important. And that's what I'm trying to urge every husband and wife in this room, to love your wife with the love of God like that. But you can't just say, I love you, but I want this and I want that. This love doesn't come and say, I'll do this if you'll do that. I'll forgive you if you forgive me. No, I'll forgive you whether or not you forgive me. Remember, Jesus died on the cross. You remember his words? Father, forgive them. And he's dying for us. So this love requires total sacrifice and first place to the person that you love. This love, you can have a lot of people. There's a lot of guys that say, I've talked with people recently that said, Pastor, I don't understand, but, you know, I love my wife, but, you know, I've had some affairs, and I told her I'm sorry, and she won't forgive me. And I asked him one question. I said, would you do it again? Well, I'd try not. I said, you're crazy. You don't love your wife. You love yourself. He kind of looked at me and said, what? I said, I care about you. I pray for you, your family every day. But that's not right. You see, the love of God says, I'll take care of you whether you take care of me or not. I'm all in. That's why Jesus said, for God so loved the world. That's agape love. I'll do anything for you. If husbands and wives got that secret, if brothers and sisters got that secret, boy, it'd change the world. Because I'll take care of you whether you take care of me or not. I'll pray for you whether you pray for me or not. I'll care about you whether you care about me or not. How else can you understand and do love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you? How can you explain that verse? It's the priority. You can't love this person and put your neighbor with this great love first and want to pay them back if they do something to you. They don't jive. This one is that way. The city of brotherly love. Have you ever seen the Philadelphia Eagles play football and you've heard their own teammates make a mistake? What do? Anybody know? Whenever they make Jalen Hurts throws a couple of interceptions, what do you begin to hear from the stands? Boo. Oh, that's a city of brotherly love? That's not this love. It's this love. I love you as long as you're winning. But if you don't win, I want somebody else. That's the love of the world. And notice, if you would, look in, and I'm not an Eagles fan. I just want you to know that, okay? All right. Now, notice C. If we love the world, we are lying to ourselves that we love God. You can't love both. And that's why he said, look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't say, I love the world. I love this person, that thing. I love my car. I love my job. Now, you can say that, and we ought to love our jobs. We ought to love the stuff the Lord's given to us. In appreciation for it. We ought to be grateful for it. But not this love. This love is reserved for someone you would die for. I hope you wouldn't die for your job. And so, I hope you wouldn't die for your car. But a lot of people, it's first. And the priority in this message is, don't put the world and the things of the world first so you can make clear decisions. Notice, if you would, three in the outline. We must live apart from the world in our hearts and we will please the Lord. Notice, A, we must identify the world in its wrong words. I was riding my wife tonight and she said she knew of someone that, you know, had attended our church and was attending our church and said, well, you know, when I first met them, I talked with them, they used a curse word. I said, what? Yeah. Now, listen very carefully. The words of the world are not words that Christians use. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. Why? As God's child, you want your language to be right. How many of you have ever heard me tell a dirty joke or curse? If you do, get rid of me. Somebody ought to bring it up and say, I heard this, get rid of that guy, because he's not real. So when somebody says, well, I love the Lord, but I do dabble a little bit in pornography. No, you don't love the Lord. Because the Lord is first. I want you to understand this. I was thinking about it today. I try to control my steps so that I only go places I know the Lord wants me to go. I try to control my words and my attitudes so that I don't say things or do things that would hurt somebody or that would offend somebody. But I'm really trying now to make sure my thoughts are pleasing to the Lord. So if I have a wrong thought, I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. That's not what I want. I want you to be first in my life. And here it is. I give you my thoughts. Lord, you help me to think only the thoughts for you. And every time I have a wrong thought, I'll say to you, I'm sorry. Now listen to this verse. Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin. To love the Lord, you give Him everything. Your dreams, your thoughts, your goals, and you ask for His blessing in return. And you give Him control. That's the issue. That's what pride is. I don't want to give Him control. I don't want Him to tell me where I go. Somebody tell me this. Where is Pastor Pittman going to be on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? Somebody tell me. How do you know that? Because I say I love the Lord. This is the place I got to be. Okay, so I'm supposed to say the right words, so I should never say the wrong words. And so what I have to do is I have to work on it. And remember, if you were in Sunday school a few weeks back or last Sunday, it was like you give your thoughts to the Lord, then you give your deeds to the Lord, and those deeds turn into, if you do them over and over, they become a habit, and pretty soon they become your character. So I know this, if I keep giving my thoughts to the Lord every day, and you will never see this, but if I keep giving my thoughts to the Lord and say, Lord, I want everything in my life to be right with you. I want to love my wife with all of my heart. I want her to be first and nobody else even a second. But Lord, I want you to be first and nobody else even second. Lord, here's my money. It's not hard to give. Hey, my wife went to Walmart. I went to Walmart yesterday and she sent me with a list and I spent $161 to buy stuff, food stuff, this thing, that thing, whatnot. She gave me a list. I about passed out. I said, you know, that's a lot of money, you know. And so I got about a half a basket full of stuff and I went home and I said, well, this ought to take care of this for probably a month and a half. And did you know what she did? She went back today. I said, what else could you have gotten? The refrigerator's full. The pantry's full. What could you have gotten? You need your trunk full too? And she looked at me. She said, well, I just had to get some things. And I went out there and I got all those things. I brought them in. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But I love her. So you know what? I'm going to give her a big kiss tonight and say I love her anyway. Even though she spent $200-something at Walmart. Now that's great love, I'm telling you. Okay. But there are some people that, you know what happens? They're so careful, they're so tight, they get mad at each other for little things that don't have eternal value. So you have to learn to trust your wife. You have to learn to love your wife. You have to learn your husband and trust your husband. And so that's where this love comes in. Is he first? Is she first? Do my thoughts all go toward them? All right, my thoughts, Lord, I want you to know I'm thinking about you. But he knows that. Casting all of your thoughts before the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Listen to this. Notice if you would. A, we must identify the world. It's wrong words, attitudes. How many of you can name an attitude of the world? School teacher, somebody name an attitude of the world. Parents, name an attitude of the world. Adults, name an attitude of the world. Just give me an attitude. Pardon me? Okay. Name another one. Another one. Temper. Laziness. Name another attitude. Attitude of the world. They're in bed. Oh, I don't want to get out. I talked to somebody the other day and they said, well, you know, my boyfriend, he gets out of bed early. They're living together. And we were visiting with him. And, oh, my boyfriend, he gets out of bed early. And I mean, he's up by 7 o'clock every morning. 7 o'clock. Wow. You know? And she said, but, you know, I sleep a little later. How much? You know, I didn't want to say, what time do you get up? I thought that was very inappropriate. So I didn't ask that. But it was like, well, you know, 8:30 or 9, you know, my goodness, my grandfather had all the cows milked, all the cows numbered. I mean, all the chickens plucked and everything ready to go at 9 o'clock. And I'm looking at it. Wow. You can't be lazy. Notice, here's another one. Immorality, pride, discontent. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't say that you had to do it. He just said, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already. He just said, you got to think about it. I wonder how many thieves we have in this room. I wonder how many payer backs we have in this room. People want to pay people back. I wonder how many, do you understand what I'm saying? And so the Christian that says, I love you, Lord, says, Lord, I did think about taking something at work, but I'm sorry. I didn't do it. I give you my thoughts. He's first. Love not the world, but love the Lord first. Now, I want to give you this. I want to finish up the outline, then I want to talk to you real quickly. Notice, if you would, we must choose to avoid these things. So the first thing you have to do is identify things of the world for yourself. And then look in the mirror and say, are any of those things in my life? Well, I want to get rid of those things. But notice, if you don't identify the things of the world, you can't avoid them. And when I would go to my grandfather's, my grandfather was amazing. He would walk around and he'd walk around every cow paddy that there was. And I don't know how he didn't look down. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. How many know what a cow paddy is? That's, well, okay. He'd walk around and I would end up stepping in one invariably. And I would say, Granddad, how can you do that? Well, you know, experience over time, just go around. Well, I went over to look at the property, I told you. Put on my hat, my coat, went over to the property, looked over there, was in the gym. I was going in to look at the storage facility up there. I was looking up, and I stepped down and went down like that. Up to here. In mud and mortar. Sticky. Mud and mortar. The guys working up on the masonry bar up on the top, I thought they were going to fall off laughing. I pulled my foot out. It was nothing but mud from there down. It took me 1 hour and 10 minutes to clean off that shoe. I said, I'm going to watch. So you know what? Now when I go over there, I've identified anything that looks wet, anything that looks muddy. So I go now, I walk around like this, I'm careful. Christians got to do that with these things of the world. Or you're going to step in it, just like I did. Now, you know what I did? Just like a lot of Christians. I came walking, I went and I tried to scrape it off from the grass, looked around, see if there's anybody watching, because I looked well. And I was trying to get it all off. And I got my helmet on, all this stuff. And, of course, the guys over there are still laughing. And I'm walking over here, and I walk into the church, and I walked up to the door, put my card in the door, walked right in, and went right on there like, no problem. The desk is there. The secretary can't see it. Walked back quickly in my office and sat down and said, Lord, I'm so embarrassed. Take my shoe off. My sock was muddy. Had to take my sock off, wash it in the sink, put it on the heater that's there, try to dry. 1 hour and 10 minutes. I wasted the Lord's time. You know why? I wasn't watching. So, a lot of Christians don't watch their words, their thoughts, their attitudes. They're sarcastic. They're mean-spirited. And they say, I'm a Christian. They don't do the right things. But I'm a Christian. But you stepped in it. And it'll take you a long time to clean it off. But you can. How many of you can tell that that shoe stepped in it. You know what I had to do? That thing's got, in that sole, I didn't know, that sole goes all the way through. That little hole right there goes all the way through. And it had mud all the way through it. I'm in there fishing that out, putting it in the sink. I'm trying to get that mud out. You know, we as Christians, we have to do some of that sometimes. We got to wash our mouths out with soap. We got to wash our mind out. Lord, you got to help me. I got to get this cleaned up off me. Because all of us step in it sometimes. But it's what you do then. Do you say, I can't leave that on? What would it have been like if I'd have wore that shoe in tonight? You might have walked up and said, Pastor, your shoe. Oh, yeah, I know. There's a lot of Christians. They don't care if they've stepped in it. That's the reason their language is the way it is. Their attitude is the way it is. Their work ethic is the way it is. And so they would say, I love the Lord. But they love the world too. And the Lord said, notice this, love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're lying to ourselves. Notice very quickly. See, we have to choose to do God's will in order to please him and have his richest blessings. We have to choose that. I want to love the Lord with all of my heart. Now, follow with me. In his will is our greatest joys. I'm going to try to give you the benefit for what you should do. Notice this. In his will is our greatest joys. Watch this. If we abide with him, we will have confidence and peace in our daily lives. How many of you would like to have the joy of the Lord in your heart and peace in your heart every day? Notice three. His blessings and joy will be lasting and not temporal. You can get up every morning and have the joy of the Lord. If you purpose in your heart, I want to put you first. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus gave us the secret to this. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He didn't really want to. He didn't want to have nails pierced through his body. He didn't want to be beaten with a cat of nine tails within an inch of his life. He didn't want to have the crown of thorns. He didn't want to be punched in the face. He didn't want his beard to be plucked out. He didn't want people to mock him when all he had to do was say, Gabriel! And everybody that touched him would have been gone. But he does this. Goes to the garden. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this death pass from me. But Lord, not my will, yours be done. I love you first. That's what he was saying. So tonight, if the Lord touches your heart about something, you ought to love your mate right. You ought to love your job less. You ought to love the things you have less. You ought to put the Lord first in your life. You ought to let him control your thoughts, your words, your attitudes. Do you really love him tonight? Is he first? He's got blessings and joys you and I cannot imagine. I'll read this verse and I'll close. Listen to this verse. This is Psalm 37. Verse number 4, I left it in your outline as a reference. Listen to this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. When you love him first, he gives you the joys of your heart. If you love the joys of your heart first, you take him out of first place, and those joys become temporal. You put him first, and he makes them permanent. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. If you take your dreams and lay at his feet, he says, I'll take care of them. Just keep me first. Then all that he gives you never takes his place. And he can keep blessing you all the days of your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation hymn. We're not going to stand or anything like that. I encourage you, if you would, to consider your heart and consider what the things of the world are, attitudes and spirit. If you lose your temper, if you have a bad attitude sometimes, if you know, whatever it might be, if the Holy Spirit touches your heart, tell Him you're sorry. Ask Him to give you the wisdom to have victory over it. He wants you to be the strongest Christian you can be. But will you say, Lord, You first, not me. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to love You more than the world. Lord, we have to live in the world. You know that. But just help us to keep our priorities right. And You're at the top of the list. In Your name we pray.